Everyone's playing.
The plan, I don't want to put a number on it, but it's going to be, it's not just a series.
Glad we got the preseason game coming on Thursday. We just to go, you know, live for the first time this year, so that'll be fun.
When's the last time you played the preseason?
Would have been 5 or 6 years.
Right.
Now I'm going year 8, and I'm expected to play this Thursday.
I'm looking forward to playing. I mean, I'm a rookie here. This is my first time, so it's like the college of your freshman, like the spring game all over again, so I'm excited to go out there and play.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer, and in the Justin Mello chair, we got two butts in one seat today. Joining me for the first time on the Music City Audible, it's two-thirds of the Pressman Coverage podcast, Lem and Cody. In addition to co-hosting Pressman Coverage, Lem covers the Titans regularly, from training camp to roster moves, player analysis, and more. And Captain Cody Moore brings the energy, strong opinions, and covers the Titans alongside Lem. Check out Pressman Coverage on YouTube as part of the Out East Network, and follow the show at Pressman Live on X, at Pressman Coverage Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me. Lem, how you doing today?
Man, I'm good. We can officially rebrand. This is the PMCA. It works, man.
You add one letter.
That's fire. That's fire, Lem. I can't lie.
We've got a full crew. I'm sorry, Mello. He's the one that mentioned that in the pre-show. He's like, hey, let's try to find a way to get rid of him. So I had to come up with it on the spot, man. Nah, man, we miss you, Mello. But, man, super excited to join you today.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. Like, this is a true honor to be part of the MCA podcast. Two big butts to fill that seat, though. I mean, I don't know if we're going to fit in that seat.
It's ultra-wide. Southwest will make it pay for two, for sure.
Yeah. I know. I'm going to need a purple pillow cushion on there, too, by the way. But yeah, man, dawn of a new era, man. Dawn of a new era, new coach, and I'm ready to freaking go. Let's get it.
It's game day. It's actually Titans game day. First time we've been able to say that in, what, 8 months or so since they played the Jaguars in January and got their butts whooped with Brandon Allen taking most of the quarterback snaps. This is the first time we get to see this team. Super excited. We're going to break down today what to watch for in preseason week one. Obviously, the starters that we care about, but more importantly, the position battles, the guys with the most to gain, the most to lose, things we're tracking, snap counts, who's playing where and when. We're going to get into all of that. But we're going to start with what we're most excited to see tonight. And, like, you know, on top of the new uniforms being debuted for the first time, we get to see Cam Ward, Carnell Tate go out there, play football together in Brian Daboll's system. I cannot wait to see how Cam Ward looks. Cody, what are you looking forward to see from Cam Ward tonight?
Man, honestly, to me, I want to see the operations of the offense. I want to make sure when they break the huddle, he's not hitting one of these. Like, hey, Carnell, get on the other side of the formation. You're in the wrong spot. I want to see quick pass games. I want to see some run plays and stuff like that. I don't need no deep pass plays. Let's not get Cam Ward in any trouble with this potential offensive line hazard that we have. So, you know, if you got to take your deep shot or two, go for it. But I would rather just see the quick pass game.
Oh, man. You know, Mr. Grave, I am Graver. I just really want to see Mr. Grave, Mr. Dead Man, what? I really want to see the action. Like, I'm excited to just see Cam. I'm a nerd, so please forgive me before I say this. You mentioned the uniforms. It's a different uniform combo than what they showed us for the initial launch. So I'm a nerd. I want to see them in that. He's been sporting these light blue, fading in the red shoes at training camp, and they're freaking nasty. So I'm a nerd. I want to see that. But on the field, man, I cannot wait to just get the feeling of this is live action. These are our ones. This is who we're going to be cheering for, and really start wrapping my head around how are they really going to be used. I've been to training camp, and yes, it's great to see things in practice and so forth, but I want to see the real thing. How are they going to be used? Is there going to be a lot of motion? I know, again, it's preseason. We're not going to show everything. But Daboll, are you going to get in your bag early so we can really get prepared? Or is it going to be the Vrabel show where Tannehill comes out, throws two screens in a row, hands the ball off, and, yep, starters played. You know, I want to see the whole thing.
Yeah, I was at that game, too, dude. I was sick. I went to the game just because they said that Ryan Tannehill was going to play. I was like, all right, let's see how it's going to go. And I think they handed the ball off three times. And I was like, all right, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Last year they did something similar. Roster Grids was pointing it out in the chat when I was doing my live show the other day that Brian Callahan took, there was a penalty. It was like a handoff, a screen and a sack. And it was like, all right, that's it. We're done with Cam Ward's first preseason action. Although he did throw 65 yards in his preseason debut, if I remember correctly, which is near the top of the list for rookie quarterback preseason debuts for number one picks. So pretty good signs there that, Cam Ward might have a chance to go out there. And just Robert Saleh said that they're going to play at least one drive, right? I'm expecting that to mean if they go out and score a touchdown on the first drive, maybe they get another one. If they don't, then they definitely probably get another one. And if they go three and out back to back on the first two drives, they probably get a third just to go let's oil out some of these kinks and see if we can do better than that. And another thing to keep in mind, you mentioned obviously preseason, no game planning, no real scheming. We're not going to see how they plan to attack the 49ers defense. The other side of it is the 49ers are not going to play many, if any, starters in this game. So if the first team offense is struggling to create yards and explosives or whatever against their backups, I think that would be, I don't want to say it's a cause for concern because it's the first preseason game and it's a new system and it's a bunch of new people and none of it really matters that much. But I'd rather see them go out there and score against the 49ers backups than see them go punt the ball a bunch of times. Tommy Townsend, only punter on this roster. He's making his Titans debut as well. But we can keep him on the sidelines for as long as possible, I think, in this one.
Yeah, I actually never want to see him, actually. I hope I never see him again. Not because he sucks, but because Cam Ward's going to score every play. We all know that, right? But I agree with you, though, man. I think that the core of it to me is keeping Cam clean. I think that's going to be the biggest dictator of how many drives they play. Because I think if they come out and they go three and out and two of those are sacks, Solomon may be like, my job's on the line. If he gets hurt next drive because I sent him back out there after two sacks, I'm out of here. So I really hope they keep them clean. I'm actually happy to hear. I wish it was just them saying their defensive line backups are going to be in. I know O-line is our biggest thing, but I just want to see Cam be clean for a preseason game at least.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at. I just don't want nobody around his feet. So that's why I say I don't need these long developing plays. Let's get Cam in. Let's get Cam out. Let's have no false starts on offense like we started out in training camp going 2-for-2 in the first two plays. My God. I started twitching. I started having relapse after seeing that. Just get in, get out. Let's have a nice productive showing. If we go 12 yards or 12 plays, 75 yards, awesome. Get them out of there. Totally. Let's go.
Cody, you were at the Nissan scrimmage, and from my understanding of how it was covered, there were very few, if any, real penalties, at least procedural penalties, called on the offense. Now, they'd go do joint practice on Tuesday with the Niners. They have 50 seconds to go get a touchdown, down 25-21 at the end of that practice. And during that sequence, there are two false starts as the offense is trying to draw the defense offsides with a hard count. Is that right that Nissan Stadium scrimmage was mostly penalty-free, and then obviously the opposite on Tuesday?
So let me put it like this. On our pod, I'm typically the negative one. And
okay.
I left that scrimmage and I was full of hopium because everything seemed so fluid. Everything seemed so smooth. There was no procedural calls as far as what I can remember. And I left and I was just like, holy crap, we may actually be good this season. And then I start getting reports from the 49ers joint practice. I was like, holy crap, we may be terrible again. So, this is how fandom works. I mean, fandom is, it's highs and lows. It's going to ebb and flow. So, I'm typically a very overreactionary person to begin with. So when we, when something bad happens, I'm going to start freaking out. And then when something good happens, I'm going to be up and excited.
He's the type that he fired his pest control guy after he saw one ant. That's the type of guy Cody is.
I thought
you were taking care of all of this. That's exactly who he is, man. You got to watch out for him, man. Never be hired by more. Nope.
That is definitely not far-fetched because we did get our house sprayed, and I started seeing more insects. I'm like, what am I paying these guys for?
There he is.
Yeah. Another thing I'm interested to see is after the Titans sort of got knocked around a bit at the joint practice. It was reported pretty much universally that the 49ers came out more physical. And the Titans' whole mantra this offseason has been play fast and violent. We want to be the more physical team. And a lot of that was the Niners taking cheap shots after the whistles were blown and starting stuff for no reason after plays. But it did sound like that the physicality aspect was not quite matched by the Titans, at least to start practice. You're going up against the same group of guys now in this preseason game. Can you respond a little bit better? You've kind of got that punch in the mouth wake-up call that like, hey, this is how physical a physical team is. Can you match that? I want to see if the team can match that tonight. But more than anything, I want to see Cam Ward hit Carnell Tate a couple of times. I don't care if it's a two-yard throw down the field or a nice deep post route or a 70-yard touchdown, whatever. I just want to see that connection come to life. I would say if I had to rank the things I'm most excited to see in this preseason game, it's what does Ward to Tate look like? Obviously, Ward to Wandale, Ward to Ridley, Iman, are all those guys in the mix. But what are these roles for these receivers? Is Wandale really just running these little like 4-yard, find the space in the zone type of routes? Are they using him in more creative ways? If they are we going to see any of that in a preseason game where they're trying not to reveal too much? So I don't know about you, Lem, but that's one of the things that I'm most looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, and on that same note, you know, at practice, at training camp, and it's been reported by a few folks out there, I think Austin and Easton after one of the training camps mentioned it, the tight end usage has been fun. You'll catch one in the backfield next to Cam, then you'll catch one in the H-back position. Then somebody's a true fullback in our formation, and they get split out wide. I'm excited to see what that looks like. For me, I know everybody's excited about Bellinger because he's more of a new name and so forth, but we're not talking about a stalwart when it comes to catching passes. Bellinger is kind of a jack of all trades. He blocks pretty solid. He catches the balls that come to him. And I think that that's how Daboll is going to use him in this offense. So similar to what you just mentioned, I want to see how much they move him around today, how much they try to create mismatches based on that. We've heard the same about Tajay Spears being in different positions on the field. So I'm curious to see, as you mentioned, is that something they're going to pull out, or is it going to be something we're going to have to wait until the Bears preseason game? Because they're like, okay, we're at the week before the season. Maybe we can do it a little bit. I'm hoping to see that
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see Elik Iomanner get out there. I mean, he's had one. It's just been a continuous momentum. He's just had a lot of momentum this entire training camp, and I want to see if he can kind of keep that rolling. We talked about it on one of our shows, actually, about, you know, has Elik's progression and momentum throughout the training camp make you comfortable with maybe even trading Calvin Ridley and, you know, maybe getting a swing tackle that we need. But yeah, I mean, these receivers, I'm excited to see Elik, and I'm excited to see DK out there. And I'm really curious to see, even do we keep 6 wide receivers at the end of this, or are they just going to be comfortable with the front 5 or the first 5?
Yeah, totally. We'll get into some of that receiver battle stuff here after we take a break, which I think we're ready to do. Those are the like the headliners, the things we're most excited to see. Coming up after the break, we're going to dive deeper into the stuff that only you guys, Titans fans, actually know what we're talking about. Position battles, depth spots that are up for grabs. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha Steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin. The best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie! Welcome back. If you're just joining us, which would be weird for a podcast/YouTube show, I am joined today by two-thirds of the Pressman Coverage Podcast, Lem and Cody. These guys have been out there at the training camp practices. They were at Nissan Stadium scrimmage. They've been seeing things, taking it in. So if you've never heard of them or if you've never seen their show or tuned in, check it out. Pressman Coverage. You can find it on the Out East Network channel on YouTube. Guys, I want to cover some of the things that are less headline worthy, but very important for the construction of this roster and who's going to make the team and who's going to play where. And the number one thing for me on that front is the right guard battle. We know Cordell Volson was, you know, the favorite coming into camp to win the job. He's listed on the unofficial depth chart as the starting right guard. Jackson Slater, we thought, just based on logic and intuition, would be the main competition for that spot. But it seems like the number one competitor, at least lately, the last half week or so, is a surging rookie, Fernando Carmona Jr. I want to know who's the first right guard on the field with the first team offense tonight. I want to see. It's going to depend on how many snaps the first team offense gets, but is there a point where they try a different right guard, maybe drive two, somebody else is in there at right guard with everyone else pretty much the same, or is it going to be like Volson gets the first team work and then maybe Carmona or Slater or somebody else gets a second team work? Where are these guys lining up when they're not with the first team? We know Jackson Slater has been playing some center in some of the clips we've seen tweeted out by the Titans and reported on by people out there. We also know that the number two center on the depth chart right now is Andre James. So there are so many questions I have about the offensive line. To keep this conversation a little more focused, we could talk about right guard first. Lem, do you have like a prediction on who's going to win this job? Or do you want to see how it plays out throughout the preseason? Where are you at on the right guard battle?
Yeah, today is going to show me if Robert Saleh is a liar. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I know that's deep, isn't it? Okay, so there's been a lot of coach speak on we're going to rotate, we're going to do this and that. You may see guys who aren't starters at core positions and so forth. You've mentioned it in recent episodes, Graver. If Carmona's the starter tonight, I'm going to say, yeah, that was the plan in the beginning, but you guys are leaning heavily Carmona. This isn't a competition anymore, unless he comes out and he lays an egg, of course. But I want to see, Robert, are you going to stand on that? Because if I see anybody else in there, it doesn't matter who it is, I'll believe it. I'm like, okay, it really is still a competition. But if Carmona comes out and he starts and he's holding his own, I think the competition may be over pretty early. It reminds me of the James Williams, Cedric Gray timing of last year, where going into the first preseason game with a few weeks left, it's like, yeah, this is James Williams' spot. You know, he was kind of in the Volson role per se. And then all of a sudden, here comes sneaking in Cedric Gray, the guy that people kind of forgot about because he was off the field. And then boom, he just blossomed into a star. So I'm hoping it's that same trajectory. But today, Robert, we going to find out. Are you R. Saleh or R. Kelly? I'm just playing. I shouldn't have said that. Bleep it out. Get me out of the episode.
That is crazy.
I'm done. If you need to mute me and kick me out, that's my bad. But we're going to find out if you're
so
a liar
out of
today.
Pocket.
that's my bad.
Yeah. I definitely predict that that Volson will probably be the one that is starting. But I do hope that Carmona is the one that ends up winning this job. And I think it's more than just, you know, it's a fifth round pick that's coming in and eventually taking over. It's also contractually, right? Like you got Carmona for 3 more years. So I would love to see Carmona take over this job eventually throughout the season. I think he's kind of starting to, you know, weave his way in with his play. You know, Lynn likes to say he's built like a big Samoan. You know, he's got Rikishi hind end back there. So it's what you need out of your guards to hold up. And, you know, Volson just worries me in the pass in pass blocking. He really does. He leans really forward. I think he's just primarily like a run blocking guard. So I would like to see Carmona hopefully take that spot.
Yeah, I mean, a year out of football, you know what I mean? It's like you already didn't look great to begin with. You know, you're one of the reasons why the Tennessee Tickle Monsters became famous, you know, in that playoff game. You're a core reason behind that. You actually trademarked it for us. And then
callback right there.
We flip it around, and here you are with us. And, you know, some of us were semi-thankful when he came. But the Volson, if he earns a starting spot, I'm more upset because it tells me a lot about Slater and Carmona, at least where they are right now. Right. That's going to tell me that, hey, they're not even close to NFL average.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I do, you know, there's been some theories thrown around. Zach Lyons has been big on this idea that the Bengals offensive line environment has been bad and that it's hard for a player to be good in that environment. That feels more like hope, cope, than anything else to me. It's like, how can we explain away why this player who played bad and then they got signed by our team? Like that's all that is to me. Now maybe Carmen Brasillo is a mad genius and he can get the most out of Cordell Volson, but yeah, I would say if we're classifying this into tiers of players with the most to gain and the most to lose, Volson is one of the players with the most to lose and Carmona is one of the players with the most to gain. On a similar note, I definitely want to see, I mean, all the rookies intrigue me. So Carmona, Pat Coogan, is he going to play some center? Is he going to play some guard? How soon does he get on the field? How many snaps does he get? But more important for the upcoming season is the swing tackle position. Oh, like Austin Deculus seems locked in for that first tackle off the bench role. Brendan Crenshaw Dixon is the other guy in the mix. Neither of those guys inspire any modicum of confidence if they have to come in and play. But let's see how it looks tonight. You know, is Austin Deculus getting worked around the edge by 49ers backups? Or then the San Francisco drafted Romello Height out of Texas Tech. Is he going to be a guy that's given trouble to these backup tackles and making life impossible for Trubisky and Levis and Hendon Hooker if he actually gets to play? Robert Saleh said the plan is for all four quarterbacks to play. He also said it's not a guarantee. I speculated that if the offense has a bunch of long sustained drives that eat up clock and there's just not that many total possessions because of that, then Hooker probably doesn't get on the field. If they have like 13 or 14 drives because they're punting after 4 or 5 plays, then Hooker might play, you know, the back half of the fourth quarter. I think this team's really going to want to showcase Will Levis because they're going to want to trade him. Because I don't think he's making the roster, and the best thing that he could do is create value for himself so the team can trade him. But that will not be easy to do if the backup tackles cannot protect. So swing tackle to me is like the second most important, interesting position battle that we will finally get some insight on tonight. Do you feel the same way, Cody?
Yeah, I do agree. And also just throwing it back to Hendon Hooker real quick, him not playing, I mean, that's just how it's been for him in training camp. That man does not play.
They go 1, 2, 3, and Hendon Hooker's like, helmet off, I'm on the side. What'd you say, coach? Okay, cool, not me. All right, my bad. Yep.
Yeah, he's used to not playing. He'll be all right just standing over there. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see Will Levis show out, and I think these swing tackles on the edges are going to really have to help him out because, you know, even watching training camp and even the scrimmages, he was under pressure. He was under pressure. He was having to roll out and then, you know, slipping and falling on his back and creating another meme of himself. That's kind of what he does. So I would love to see Will Levis get some work. I hope he gets protected, has some time, and maybe find Tyron Montgomery for a big play or something like that.
Oh, God. We got to let go of that train. Tyron Montgomery train left us after OTAs. You know, have you seen his name? If you search his name on Twitter, it may be October the last time something popped up about him.
That's fair.
The train left the station, but nobody had built the track, so it just ground to a halt in the desert.
So where we're going again? They're just pulling the thing, choo-choo, get on if you want. We're not going anywhere. But the tackle conversation is something that's interesting to me. My not so bold, but bold prediction is that by Friday at 5 p.m., there will be a swing tackle signed. Like, I just don't see.
Wow.
I don't see a world where we go into the season with Deculus or Crenshaw Dixon. You know, they are on skates. It can be roller or ice. It doesn't matter. They just, the anchor is just not there, you know? And I'm tired of seeing this. And for me, understanding that as Vrabel said, the injury rate is always 100 with his dip in. Now, we're close to Jacob Martin's dip. Please go check that video out if you haven't seen it.
It's insane.
It's a crazy dip. It's like, a crazy
dip. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I don't know
how
he did it. He's
spitting like between sentences at the podium.
I'm like, golly, you're a real country man. All right. But, you know, understanding that injury rate is 100%, one of these tackles are going to play, and there's no way you invest essentially, you know, $200 million into your quarterback with the pieces around him, and you can't invest 7 or 8 to bring in a swing tackle who's going to be quality. So there's just no way, man, that we can go into the season like this. Borgo has to feel the pressure because this will be the thing that people will try to hang him on if it doesn't get resolved. There's always that one thing. Well, Rand spent too much and nobody worked out, or everybody's always hurt, whatever it is. It's going to be Borgonzi did not take the tackle position serious enough.
The offensive line as a whole, I think you could say. We're still sitting here talking about right guard. We're like, hopefully Austin Schlotman, who started 4 games last year, can be a starting center for a whole season.
Literally.
Like, this is the kryptonite of the way the roster is currently constructed.
Yeah. And we have
you play
money.
Stupid games, you win stupid prizes. I mean, it's just like we've been playing this offensive line game for 4 or 5 years now, and you know we've gotten quarterbacks hurt. Ryan Tannehill got smoked. Will Levis got smoked. I don't want to see Cam Ward get smoked. So go get the swing tackle again if you got to go trade a Calvin Ridley because Alec Iomaner is showing out. You know, that's just what you have to go do. And then you can keep a Bryce Oliver or something like that. And that can be your 5 or 6. But I can't. It's so frustrating to me as a fan just seeing this incompetence with the tackle position just continue to wreak its ugly head. It's frustrating to me.
Yeah, and I've got a question for you around that, Justin. So we've got, 48, 53, something like that, $1 million available. My question for you is, looking at the available tackles, this is probably the best group of available tackles I've seen this late into our offseason in the last few years. And I'm just curious, do you think we're going to go get one? You know, or do you think it truly is contingent on how well they play in the preseason?
You know, I have been saying that I think the Titans need to and should sign a swing tackle for literally months now. But the longer they go without doing it, the less confident I am that they will do it. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't do it. Or, you know, we've seen these late August trades in the past. Think Dennis Daly, for example. That could still be something that happens. And maybe it's Will Levis is shipped off instead of Calvin Ridley. Or maybe it's a 6th round conditional pick next year or something like that. But I mean, the guy that I would be most interested in bringing in, I don't know why, something about Cam Robinson intrigues me as a guy that's like, he was never really good enough to be a reliable starting tackle, but he feels like the type of guy that you can get away with playing, you know, a couple of series in a game if somebody's cramping, or a couple of weeks if somebody sprains a knee or something like that. He's a 9-year veteran. He was making $12 million a year last year. So he's a guy that's out there. And I think just from a health standpoint, like, Jack Conklin's dealt with so many injuries throughout his career. Taylor Decker even has had some injury concerns and is getting a little older. He's going to be 33 this year. Jonah Williams has dealt with injuries. Like, most of the guys that are still out there have at least some level of injury concern. And I don't know that Cam Robinson fits into that same bucket. He just wasn't ever really good enough to be a starter. He's somebody that I remember Harold Landry absolutely wrecking whenever they got a chance to match up against him. And, you know, Harold Landry was, you know, one of those tier two edge rushers who will cook your bad tackles and not really do anything against your good tackles. So he's the guy that I have my eye on. I'm also, you know, DJ Humphreys is interesting, but he's another guy who's dealt with injuries. And I'm pretty out on the Taylor Decker, Jack Conklin tier, because those guys feel like they should be starters and they're going to want to be starters, but also can you count on them to be starters for a full season? If those guys would accept less money and a swing tackle role, then maybe I'm in, but I don't know if that, like, do they feel that they're at that point in their own careers? I don't know.
Yeah. The redemption arc writes itself, though, with Jack Conklin. I mean, right. We let go of Jack Conklin, and it goes completely downhill. Then you just bring him back, and he fixes everything. I mean, that That's would it. Just be incredible.
That's true.
It. Somebody's got to do it. I mean, it worked with nobody. It never works. So we definitely shouldn't do that. Nope, I can't do it, man. Go get Taylor Decker. Look, man, Taylor can have a quick conversation with my guy Zeitler. It's a simple one. Hey, did you like Nashville? I loved it. My big belly, I loved it. You know, so Taylor Decker.
The barbecue was awesome. In.
Look, man, just take a step back. You're getting older. Who cares? We're going to pay you decent money anyway. Just sit until we need you. And when we need you, come in and be a star. There it is. Yeah. We're going to the playoffs, baby. We back. Woo!
There you go. All right, I have a few other positions I really want to touch on, specifically wide receiver and linebacker, but we've run out of time in segment two, so we got to take a break, and we'll hit those things when we come back. Welcome back. All right, last segment here we're going to touch on is a couple of other intriguing position battles. I think wide receiver, the top five is locked in. I mean, we know who the top five receivers are. Carnell Tate, Wandale Robinson, Calvin Ridley, Shimmer Adike, Alec Iamanner, not necessarily in that order. Linebacker is a different story. I think we know Cedric Gray is going to start. We don't really know anyone else. Talked about this yesterday where the Titans list Muhammad Diabate as a starting off-ball linebacker right now, which is maybe the most shocking thing on the entire unofficial depth chart. I, you know, theorized yesterday that that's because they have Anthony Hill Jr. listed as his backup. That makes it an easy swap when they feel that Hill has earned the starting role or proven himself enough. They can easily just pop him into the first team linebacker spot without sacrificing Cody Barton or Cedric Gray. Makes it all clean and neat. But I'm curious, like, who the starting linebackers are going to be in this game? Are they going to open the game in a traditional 4-3 base defense look? Are they going to be heavy in nickel and dime packages where there's only two linebackers on the field anyway? Does Anthony Hill get to run with the first team defense? I expect Anthony Hill's going to play a lot because they probably want to just get him reps and looks so that he feels more ready to contribute as an actual player on this defense. But I'm curious how quickly he gets into the game. What does Cody Barton look like? How many snaps does Cody Barton even play? And of course, the wild card in this mix is James Williams, who's had an outstanding training camp. When does he get to play? How often are they mixing and matching these guys? I'm going to be really tracking the linebacker rotation in this game tonight.
That's a great point there of, you know, understanding the different factors that flow into it, especially with the Mo Diabate side of it. I don't know if he's all the way back from his injury. I have a feeling that they may end up sitting him tonight. He was working on the side field, at least at the most recent training camp that I went to prior to them going to the joint practices. He may have returned there. But, you know, I'm curious to see who takes over at what position. I know that they have Cody Barton's backup is James Williams directly, Anthony Hill's right behind Diabate, as you mentioned. But is it when Gray comes out, Hill comes in, or when Williams comes in? Like, how does that work? Are they going to stagger it any to see how they play together? Or is it just going to be two out, two in? Because my preference would be to see a staggered approach. I want to see what Hill and Gray look like next to each other. I want to see what Barton and Williams look like next to each other. I think that'd be pretty cool. Cody, is there anybody in that house that you've kind of have the favorite maybe to sneak a starting position in?
Man, I want Anthony Hill to get as many snaps as humanly possible from Gravers here's Texas Longhorns. I hook him. I love the player. I love Anthony Hill. I love the athlete. I love the physicality that he plays with. I think he kind of fits the Robert Saleh scheme, and he plays the way that Robert Saleh wants to play. So, you know, give me all the Anthony Hill. I would hope and pray that eventually this leads into Cody Barton kind of being weeded out just because of the physical limitations. I understand that he has like the mental side of it probably more than the rest of the group, but I would love to see Anthony Hill get out there and get a lot of snaps.
I feel like the most athletic linebacker combination they could play is Hill, Gray, and James Williams. Like, if that, if by week 16, those are the three linebackers getting the most snaps on defense, I feel like that's obviously they have to prove that they can do that without giving up big plays or being a liability in run defense or whatever. But if we can get to a point where those are the three guys on the field, or two out of those three are the guys on the field, I feel like the Titans linebacking core is in a better spot than they are sort of projected to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, because it could, you know, if those guys are on the field, I'm not really worried too much about injury either, to be honest with you. This may be the only position on the team where I feel like, aside from wide receiver, where we can withstand an injury and a half, really. You know, I think we've got guys who are starter quality, but I really want to see in these preseason games if they can prove it more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, Will right. Hill, you're a rookie. You got to prove it. Williams, we like what we saw up to this point last year, but you also lost your spot. So can you prove that you're a true starter and maybe be trying out for another team? You know, if we feel like we are over, you know, super deep at a position, you never know what could happen in the trade market as well.
Totally. At the wide receiver spot, back to that position here, I mentioned the top five guys. Then the next group is sort of a jumbled mess, in my opinion. You've got Bryce Oliver, who seems to be the favorite purely because he contributes the most on special teams. You got Xavier Restrepo, who is a fan favorite, obviously teammates of Cam Ward's at Miami. Hasn't been like, he's been getting buzz at training camp. He's been getting a lot of catches from the second and third team quarterbacks. I don't know that he's run with Cam Ward much. I mean, it hasn't been reported that he was running with Cam Ward until Tuesday. I mean, in the joint practice, he caught two touchdown passes, and at least one of them was thrown by Cam Ward. So he's out there with the first team red zone offense for some reason at some point in that practice. I think he is the player with probably the most to gain out of anybody on the roster who's not fighting for a legitimate starting job in this game tonight. If he can go be productive, granted it's against backups, whatever, but show that you are a class above the players that will be on the field tonight who are mostly going to be not even second stringers. I mean, by the time Sharpo's probably one of the guys playing a lot in the second half. So by the time that Niners are on their second half team, like, Restrepo's got to go show, I am not in this class of player. I deserve to be playing the first four drives and hitting the bench for the rest of the preseason because that's who I am. And I really think that, like, if the Titans didn't do so much at wide receiver this offseason by drafting a guy and paying another $70 million, Restrepo would have a lot better shot to make this roster. But I don't think it's, like, necessarily over for him. He's a guy that, by all accounts, produces every time he gets a chance to. He just needs to be given that chance. So can he prove that his ability at wide receiver is more valuable than Bryce Oliver's ability on special teams or KJ Osborne's experience? I mean, what are we hanging around on for KJ Osborne at this point?
You know, I like he's the way my you said dark horse, actually, man. Like, I actually think that the person who will challenge Restrepo the most will be KJ Osborne. I know, I hear Bryce Oliver's, his versatility as a gunner and so forth. He's super valuable. I really do believe that. But I could just see KJ Osborne coming out and having one of those, what was it, Van Jefferson against the Falcons last year in a preseason game where he struck like 70. I could see KJ Osborne doing that and making it really interesting and being like, okay, well, we got a guy who actually can be pretty explosive when he gets the ball in his hands, you know, and he's proven it. One-ish year in the league. So, you know, I think that's really going to be the challenge because the part of being a vet that you mentioned that stands out to me is they know how to compete. They know that their job's on the line. They know how to ratchet it up to a different level. And that's going to be a real challenge for Restrepo when it comes to making the team. Cody's best friend. Yeah. Cody loves Restrepo.
Yeah, the Restreprians out there, you gotta feed the beast sometimes. But, you know, I think while Restrepo probably has the most to gain, I think he probably has the toughest road, right? Because he's primarily a slot guy, and we just paid a slot guy a lot of money in the offseason. Yeah. And you could probably rotate a Chimery DK or something in the slot if Wandale Robinson was to go down. So, you know, I think it's going to be a long, hard road for Restrepo to make this team. I think players like Bryce Oliver, maybe even Hank Beatty, something like that, are going to be even, you know, could have potential to make the team even before Restrepo could.
Ooh. Just with more value on special teams, I could see it. You know, I've been locked up. I've been in the psych ward for a long time now, but I'm coming down with something else. I think I'm getting sick. I got a case of strep throat as well.
Uh-oh.
Give me all the shares of Restrepo. I don't think he's going to make the team, but I think he's a valuable practice squad stash where if somebody in the receiver room does get hurt, he can come up and be elevated. And you know the craziest part about Restrepo right now? As you mentioned, he's a slot-only receiver, but yesterday I broke down the depth chart a bit. He's actually listed as the third backup on the outside at the receiver spot. He's not even listed as a slot. I mean, not, I don't know how much that really matters, but it's very clearly Wandale Robinson, and the guys listed behind him are Shim Dike and Hank Beattie, I think. And then at the top of the depth chart behind Carnell Tate, eventually, if you go over two rows, you get to Restrepo. So that to me kind of stood out a little bit, that maybe they see him being, you know, Wandale Robinson played obviously as a lot of slot for Brian Daboll, but also played on the outside a bit last year. Maybe they see Restrepo in a similar mold as like an inside out, do it all guy. We will find out how he's used tonight. Couple of quick hitter things as we wrap up this pod here. Defensive end rotation. We know Jermaine Johnson is starting at one side. Jacob Martin is listed as a starter at the other side. Does he play tonight? You know, he left Tuesday's practice with what seems to be a minor injury, but is he, you know, Robert Saleh said everyone who's healthy will play. Is he healthy? Is he going to play? And if he doesn't play, who's the starting defensive end opposite Jermaine Johnson with the first team defense? Keldrick Falk was reportedly the first guy in when Martin went down in practice. So I would expect Falk maybe to line up as a starter tonight. But I'm really curious to see what Femi Oladejo looks like with his chances. Because to me, there is a battle going on between Keldrick Falk and Femi Oladejo for who's going to be higher in the pecking order. All these guys are going to play. We know they're going to rotate these defensive linemen like crazy. But who plays more and who plays sooner? I think tonight is the first step in finding the answer to that question.
Ooh, and you know, another name I want to throw in there purely off of last year, because you haven't heard him much at all, is Jalen Harrell. Like, I wonder if he's going to show out during a couple of these preseason games and force their hand because, you know, towards the end of the last season, what did he finish? Like five out of the last six games with a sack or something like that? And sure, they're all cleanup sacks, but somebody's got to get them and somebody's got to hustle. And I personally, and Graver, I'd like your opinion on this. Is it an indictment against Femi if Keldrick is the first guy up?
You know, Falk was higher draft pick, so more capital invested. I think both guys were kind of viewed as raw developmental guys coming out, but Femi is like the extreme end of raw and developmental. He didn't even play on the line of scrimmage outside of his last, eight games of college. Mm-hmm. Whereas while Falk was asked to do different things in Auburn's defense, he was at least a defensive lineman, a legitimate defensive lineman. So I think that it's not necessarily an indictment. I mean, if Femi had played all last year and didn't get hurt and wasn't going through a rehabbing offseason versus a developing offseason, I would maybe hold it against him more. But I almost feel like the injury buys Femi an extra season to get up to the level that he needs to be to contribute on a consistent basis. Like, it's okay if his development takes a little bit more time because he dealt with the injury, because he's dealing with a position change, that I don't necessarily think it's an indictment. I think anything you get from him, you should count it as, you know, a cherry on top of what is already a pretty stout defensive line rotation if you include the tackles in that group. It's not, obviously the ends aren't, we don't have a world beater defensive end. We don't have a tier one guy. You hope Jermaine Johnson can be a tier two Harold Landry level guy, but even he has never been even that good. He talked at the podium recently, said he thinks he's top five at his position. Stats have never proved it. He's got to go make it a reality this year. And I hope that's his mindset. I hope that's everybody's mindset. So I'm going to be very curious to see how Keldrick Falk and Femi look in this new defense, both of them with new roles and what they had last year. But I don't necessarily think it's an indictment on where Femi's at if he's not the first guy on the field tonight.
Yeah, I think Keldrick Falk's probably the player that I'm single, you know, not Cam Ward, Carnell Tate. I think Keldrick Falk is the player I'm most excited to actually watch play tonight because, I mean, he's going to be going against people who aren't first-round picks probably against him. I need to see him win. Femi Oladejo, I'm not holding my breath. I never will. I'm never going to hold my breath for Femi Oladejo to make a play ever in my entire life. You can't make me do it.
Ever.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that the simplify and just go get the quarterback thing will work for him and that he can use his raw abilities. You know, again, I'm just not going to hold my breath. That's ever going to happen.
His arms are huge, man. He has to do something.
They are huge. He is a massive human. I hope he doesn't see what I just said about him.
You could be in trouble.
Too late for that. I've already slid it into his DM, buddy. Don't worry about that.
Clipping this out, tagging him on Twitter. Make sure he sees it. Send it to Titans PR.
Thank you for doing that.
The last thing that I am watching in this game, my final little quick thought here, is Joey Sly. What's Joey Sly look like? Because we've had I wouldn't say conflicting reports because it's been different days, but up and down, maybe, practices at training camp. Struggled last week with kicking in general. Went 2 of 4 in the Nissan Stadium scrimmage. Went either 6 of 6 or 7 of 7, depending on who you listen to, in Tuesday's joint practice, which sounds like a nice bounce back. But he is going to be, you know, in a real stadium tonight where he was on last Friday night and struggled. You know, it's not a practice field. The conditions are different. There's a crowd. There's atmosphere. There's actual stakes on each kick. So how does Joey Sly kick tonight? Because his job is in jeopardy. Titans have worked out 5 kickers since last Friday already, with Josh Carty joining the list earlier this week. So can Joey Sly be consistent tonight? I mean, this is a team that simply can't afford to lose the kicking game on a consistent basis. You are a young team. You are already a long shot to even make the playoffs. If you go out and play ahead of schedule and ahead of where people expect you to be this year, but you end up losing games because Joey Sly's missing makeable field goals, that is inexcusable to me. And that would be such, like, just a depressing way for this season to play out. I mean, there are some people who will tell you, like, oh, at least you get a high draft pick. I'm over the high draft pick stuff. This team has had high draft picks. It's time to compete now. We're done with the high draft pick. So you got another kicker in the division that was making 70-yard field goals last year. You can't afford to be the guy who is scared to trot out Sly because it's a 49-yarder and you don't know if he's going to make it. So let's see how Joey Sly plays tonight. I don't know if that was enough for you guys to even expand on this, kind of the whole thought, but go ahead anyway, Lem. What do you think about Joey Sly?
I'm just... You know, when he was brought in, I know I'm hurt by this because he was known for, you know, having a big leg, you know, and he wasn't the most accurate. That was kind of the him versus Folk thing when it first happened, because everybody was shocked. Like, yeah, the guy who had one of the most accurate kicking seasons in the history of the NFL, and you just dropped him for Joey Sly. And I understood, you know, partially the thought process, hey, we can just squeak to the 40. We've got a chance to kick a field goal. But man, how many times do we get stopped in that, you know, low red zone area and we need a 40-yarder? Like, if you can't be consistent there, that's where the big issue comes into play. If you miss a 65-yarder, sure, I'm going to be mad, but it's a 65-yarder. You know right. what I mean? It is what it is. But if you're missing 45ers, I'm storming the field. It just is what it is. Y'all can kick me out of this stadium. I'll wait for the next. But I can't have that happen. And a young team, we need the things that we can control to be the things that we're the best at. We can control the kicking game. There's very little outside elements aside from the elements themselves that play a factor into that. So we've got to be excellent in that. But I do trust Bones to make the correct decision there.
Me too.
Yeah, you want every possession hopefully in 7 or at least 3. With the kick. Mm-hmm. I cannot take another season. I think it was like maybe 2021 where we brought in like 5 different kickers and then we ended up with Fat Randy as our kicker there for a while. I can't go on this emotional roller coaster where every time the kicker goes out there, I'm nervous. I just need somebody consistent. Nick Folk was like 95% when he was here. I think Joey Sly last year may have been like 80%. So I think he missed like 5 or 7 kicks. But you've got to be able to make your kicks. We need this. I mean, this is the time we have a chance to win, like this season. So, you know, we need the kicking game to be strong. We really do.
Yeah. The Titans have been had such a poor roster and so many holes that they haven't really had a chance to, like, let's go take a chance on a young kicker and try to develop our franchise kicker of the future the way some of these other teams have. They need to get to that point now. This needs to be the last season that Mike Borgonzi is relying on a veteran journeyman guy like a Joey Sly or whoever ends up replacing him, if somebody does end up replacing him. And it's like, go get your own guy. Go get your own Cam Little or your own Cameron Dicker or your own Brandon Aubrey. Like, go find a guy that can be one of the best kickers in the league that you found yourself. It's finally time, I think, for the roster to try to prioritize that kind of position. But that will do it. We are very excited for this preseason game tonight. Cannot wait to watch the Titans play football again. Lem, you want to plug your show? Tell the people where to find you guys and where to follow you and all that stuff before we get out of here.
Yeah, we did a great job with branding. Every single social media site has a different name. So on YouTube, you can find us under the Out East Network. That's probably where our largest presence is. Press Man Live on X. Pressman Coverage Pod on IG. Is it the same for TikTok too, Cody? He's a TikTok guy. Yeah, I had to stay away from TikTok because Vine was like cracking my life when I was in college, so I couldn't touch the TikTok. But please, man, follow us. We're also fans of the MCA podcast, so if you haven't commented, drop a comment and tell them how much you love them. It's rare somebody gets to come on their show and tell them that. But let me tell you something, Cody. I haven't told you this, but I've been dipping into the budget. I'm LEMDOZ on YouTube. I've been giving super chats here for the last couple of months to the MCA podcast, just trying to fluff up the pockets a little bit because I genuinely love their podcast. So please, if you haven't subscribed and you're watching this, subscribe to MCA. PMC, you can do that too, but MCA, you better be subscribed if you're watching this.
The PMCA, baby. We really appreciate you, Lem. Like, that is truly awesome to hear, and I'm glad that we got to have you guys on the show here. We'll have to do it again sometime when Mello is back. I don't know if we can fit five boxes on the screen, but we can certainly try. Maybe we'll get that happening at some point this season. So appreciate you guys, everyone out there, everyone in the Audible Army. Go find Pressman Coverage, put it in your rotation. It's a great show. These guys do great work covering the team from the Nashville perspective, and you guys get to do something that, you know, me and Mello have never ever done in our lives: record a podcast from the same room. So I know you don't do all your shows that way, but it's pretty cool that you get the chance to do that too. So that'll do it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As Lem said, hit that subscribe button, like the video, drop a comment below, go subscribe to the Out East Network, find Pressman Coverage, put it in your rotation, and enjoy the game tonight, Titans fans. I'll be back tomorrow morning live to recap the game, 10:30 a.m. Central, with a special guest, an old friend from Broadway. So we'll see you guys there. Until then, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.